Five, four, three, two, one.
Welcome to Tech Talk from RNIB Connect Radio, the RNIB's technology show for blind and partially sighted people. See technology differently.
Oh, hello, welcome to another Tech Talk. I have silenced everything in my life in order to do this program again from home. One of the challenges, of course, is that everything in my life speaks. And when you go to do a radio show, it's like a game of whack-a-mole to get everything to be silent. Robin Christofferson, do you have this problem?
You've turned me off.
Oh, that sounds so much better.
Yeah, honestly, I have to take the landline phone out of the room. Oh. I have to turn my watch on mute, my phone on silent. Absolutely, yeah.
It is ridiculous. Andy, you might not have things speaking. Although in saying that, you do have a lot of smart assistants. You've got your phone there. You've got lots of things that will make noise.
Yeah, Alex. Oh, no.
Don't say the word.
No, you caught yourself. No. That's good. Yeah,
Lady A is in front of me, yeah, but she gets silence. See, Stephen, your usual tactic when you want me to stop talking, when we're in the studio at least, did you just say, are you going to go make a cup of tea? That gives you at least 5 minutes of peace and quiet.
I am so glad you ended the sentence in that approach, because there were so many ways you could have taken that that could have got me into all kinds of trouble, but you chose to be nice. I thank you for that. Yes, I do ask you to make me tea, but I haven't had a cup of tea from you since, February? March?
Yeah.
I'm gasping. That's all I've been waiting for, I tell you.
You've got to earn your keep.
Oh dear.
Making
tea jokes.
Oh, dearie me.
That's the level we've stooped to.
Yep.
I'm thinking one, but I can't get there. I'll get one by the end. I will look one up. Right. I want to kick things off. We're going to talk about Samsung in a minute. They had a big event last week, and they brought out all kinds of new tech. For Android lovers, you'll be excited beyond belief. For iPhone lovers, stay with us. So we've got that to talk about. We've also got an interesting story from Will, our listener. You might remember a couple of weeks back we had Will on demoing what it was like to use Aira outside. Outside, Robin! He ventured outside. I hope he's socially distanced.
Yeah, and I think he got back safely because he's done us another one.
That's right. That's our way of knowing he's safe. Well, he is going to be checking things out this time. This time around, he's focusing on items in the home. He's got three package meals, you know, these kind of frozen ready meal type things. And he wants to know what they are, how to cook them, and get that information. And he's going to show us how Aira can be used for that benefit. So, it's the second demo he's done. And I'm intrigued to know, Andy, has Aira come up in any of the emails so far? I don't know if you've maybe seen anything come up on it, because I'm not hearing a huge amount of the community talking about Aira yet.
Yeah, not yet, but then again, by the rate we go through emails, we'll probably get to them in, like, November.
Okay, right, right.
So, by that point, Aira will be well up and running and everyone will be trying it out. So, yeah,
I think we're still reading pre-COVID-19 emails at the moment. I don't think coronavirus was a thing around half these emails.
Are we still collecting the pages? Because we're up to 12 again now. I updated it. Yeah, 12 pages. How many football-sized pitches is that now? Four?
Five double-decker buses, two whales, and a Luxembourg. I think that's pretty much it, isn't it?
How'd you get two whales in a double decker? Oh, no, forget that.
Yeah, I don't know where that was going. Please don't go there. Right. But before we talk about Samsung and everything else and get to your emails and talk about Aira and all those lovely things, it's a sad day, guys. It's a sad day because today is the day, this week, in fact, it was the week that we learned that Toshiba are no longer making laptops.
Oh,
or computers,
I loved
actually.
My Toshiba Satellite or Portage. I had two.
Yeah, I had the Portage. They were terrible. the Satellite was good. I think it was a Toshiba Satellite I had. I think for my first, not my first job. My first job, actually, laptop I had was a Sony Vaio. Remember those?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Had one of those, yep.
And it was useless.
Mm-hmm. And I wasn't a fan.
No, not really. And then then I moved on to, I thought I tried Packard Bell, but that was a computer. I had big tower computers at the time, one big tower computer, and that was a Packard Bell, and I loved that. And then my second laptop was a Toshiba Satellite. I think it was a Satellite anyway, and I loved it. And actually, we were talking before we came on about sort of customer service in certain stores. And this was when I had taken my Toshiba laptop back because there was a problem. And the guy said, no problem, I'll have a look at it. And he takes it around the back, and all I hear is bang, as it's, you know, thrown onto the desk. And I'm thinking, this problem has just gotten worse, it would appear. But anyway, it was all resolved, thank goodness. But yeah, it was a great little machine, very sturdy, very well made. The newer ones, less so. I mean, decent enough computers. I think they brought out a newer range of Portage last couple of years, which were a bit better. We had them at RNIB, actually. They were our kind of main laptops. But, of course, that's now changed. We're now all with Lenovo now because, well, Lenovo own the world when it comes to computers, quite frankly. They are, I think, the biggest provider of computers in the world.
Absolutely. Well, certainly in the corporate sector. Which probably means in the world. Absolutely, yeah. Yep. They, you know, the ThinkPad range, which used to be IBM, was taken over by Lenovo, wasn't it? And just they've exploded the number of models and SKUs, etc., that they've got, and I think they're all really good, really good value as well.
Well, I got a Lenovo recently, just this last couple of weeks actually, because I was needing something at home that was dedicated to Windows rather than this the VM I use occasionally, which is good, but for a lot of hard editing or audio editing, I don't find using a virtual machine to be the ideal solution. I know that you'll probably argue with that, Robin.
Well, I only do audio editing, so video editing would, I think.
Well, I do audio editing mainly on the VM, but I've had issues with it, and that's why I just, you know, that way sometimes if it feels a bit rocky and you just don't feel like it's going your way, you think, no, do you know what? I need something that's fixed, that is determined, that is only for this purpose. Mm-hmm. And that is why I got this. So I got a Lenovo T490, which is a business machine. I got it sort of secondhand. I think it was a company that had, you know, say, bought in 100 of them for a project, and the project never materialized, so they sold them on to a company which I regularly purchase my computers on. And it arrived, and unfortunately, there was a fault with it. It's gone back. Lenovo, amazing with warranties. Just no problem. They'll come and pick it up, and they'll return it in a couple of days, and it'll all be fixed, and everything's going to be rosy in the garden. But one thing I like about Lenovo is especially the business laptops. I would always recommend, if you're blind especially, if you're prone to dropping things or dropping things on things, then a business laptop is a good one to go for, because they're built well. And Lenovo, I think I'm right in saying this, are built to some sort of military standard. You can sort of kicked down 15 flights of stairs and it should still
work.
If
a tank rolls over.
Yeah, that's right. If you know, if you happen to be prone to dropping your laptop under buses, then this one will survive. So there you go. But yeah, Toshiba no longer in the business. That's a bit
of a shame. So what went wrong with them then? What went wrong?
It's just such a competitive environment, you know, marketplace, and the margins are so thin.
I'm reading here that in 2011, they were selling 17.7 million PCs. And then as soon as 2017, that had gone down to 1.4. That's a hell of a drop for 6 years. So is that just because the competition's that fierce in the market?
That and the fact that mobile has seriously impacted the PC market in general. Wow. So a lot of people can do on a phone or a tablet what they would have been buying a laptop or a tower for earlier. You know, obviously there's still a lot of people, if not most people, have computers at home as well as a phone or a tablet. But they're kind of holding on to them longer. There was such a massive glut almost in the market that, you know, there's a really good secondhand marketplace for PCs as well. So the industry has really, really suffered.
I mean, I wonder how Dell's getting on amongst all this, because Dell, are the, you know, you think Dell, Lenovo, HP, Samsung as well to some degree.
Asus, I think, are doing really well as well. Yep. But they have the high-end ones.
And gaming as well. Gaming's another big market as well. Yeah. If
that's
you can get into.
Kind of where Dell were drifting into. I mean, the machine I've got here, which I only use really for audio and video editing, was advertised as a gaming machine. So they put out machines that say, if you want to stream games, play high-end games, these are the machines for you. So that's the market that Dell cornered, or tried to start cornering anyway.
Yeah, interesting. Well, there you go. So if you were planning on buying a Toshiba laptop, don't, is the advice, I guess, because you know, I'm sure there'll be a few left over, and I'm sure they'll still service them as well if you did buy one. So it's not a case of you'd be left high and dry with it, but, you know, I'd probably look for something else if I'm honest.
It's now Sharp, apparently. They sold...
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, I did see this. Yeah, Sharp are apparently the they've kind of bought up what's left, essentially, of this market.
Yeah, two years ago, they bought an 80% stake in the PC business, and then that wrapped up on August the 4th. They said that they've completed all 100%. So it's now Dynabook, which is a very strange name, isn't it?
It's another people that come and fix your toilet when it's not working.
That's Dynarod, isn't it?
A Dynarod, yeah. It's the same thing, is it not?
It's a subsidiary, yeah. There you go.
Yeah, your laptop can fix your toilet. That's not bad, you know. I mean, I'll be on it. Well, maybe I shouldn't go there. let's just say that's an interesting idea.
Yeah. Let's not revisit.
Yeah. Right, let's talk about Samsung, because they launched some products, and let's talk about what they've been bringing out. Are we excited about the Galaxy Note 20, guys? Right. I'll take that as a no, then. so the Note 20.
I think if you were in the Samsung world or the Android world, I think these products, Samsung products in general, are exciting. You know, they're definitely up there, aren't they?
Yeah.
With the other top-end... premium handsets, but
we're not going to go on about this too much, because I mean, if you want to read the specs, I'm sure there's tons of articles, millions of articles about this online. I'm not going to waste your time going through it all, but I do want to pick up on the point that's most important to our audience, and that is the accessibility side of this. So the Note 20, the Note 20 Ultra with 5G, I think both have 5G. I could be wrong in that, maybe it's only the Ultra, but yeah, you can get 5G versions of these. Again, it's a bit early in the day for that, but you know, you're getting yourself prepared, I guess, for 5G when it comes. Most networks have started rolling it out, but in certain areas, mainly in cities, and I imagine with coronavirus, things have been held back a little bit
more
than they would
have
been. The masks. Don't lick the masks. Don't lick masks. Don't lick masks either. That both are bad ideas. Yeah, both is a bad idea.
Yeah.
I think, has Robin had a drink before he came on? I'm sensing
cup of tea,
alcohol.
Cup of tea.
Yeah, what's in it, though? That's the question.
Andy got it. Well, I don't know. Ask Andy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm about to make a cup of tea, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's an interesting device. We're talking, a nice phone again, with the Ultra version being larger. The Notes tend to be larger than your standard S20. I would say this is pitched at the professional, as opposed to the average consumer. I think an average consumer would probably go down the route of a Samsung S20 because a couple of reasons. One being the stylus that's built in to this device. You can have
the S Pen.
The S Pen, yeah. They probably don't like it being called a stylus. you can get them for like £1 off Amazon. I mean, come on, you know, you don't need to. But anyway.
Which I think is a good thing, because, you know, the Apple Pencil, for example, that's like £100.
Well, that's right. Yeah.
So the Google alternative is also £100. I saw that price. Yeah.
I mean, what I've heard is that it actually does add a lot of utility to the device. There are a lot of very happy Note users out there. So I think, you know, this is a significant update. The thing that surprised me, though, is that the screen size difference between the Note and the Ultra is only, one was 6.2 and the other was 6.8 or something. That just seemed like a really narrow margin there between the standard and the big one.
I think it is not a huge difference, but at the same token, we're talking, the Ultra is a big phone, although I think it's just shy of the size of the iPhone Pro Max.
So
I don't know, but go back to the S Pen, you mentioned that. I mean, yeah, it is for productivity, and they have been talking about Microsoft Office integration with this. Again, I think this is something that's really good from a professional point of view. But if you're a professional who also enjoys a bit of fun as well, as most professionals probably do, then you can do gaming on there. Obviously, with the screen size and the quality of that AMOLED screen as well, you're going to get a really great screen to play games. Also, they talk about the fast charging battery, which is another key element here. So you can have, you know, more gameplay, more work time, all the rest. And of course, the cameras, which have essentially been, I'm not going to use the word copied, but there I just did. The same cameras exist inside the iPhone Pro as well. So they've done the same with the triple camera array. It's a nice phone. I do want to talk about the accessibility, though, because one thing about the Samsung phones that I think most people don't realise is they have the potential for two different screen readers, possibly the only phone to do that on the market. And that's because you can have screen reader from Samsung. At least we think that's what it's called. There's a bit of confusion around the official name of it.
You'll also see it called Voice Assistant.
Which doesn't make any sense at all.
Yeah, that sounds more like the Voice Assistant, which is Bixby so maybe that's why they've got that name free. But yeah.
I thought I'd called it maybe voice guidance, because that's what they call it on TV. So it would have maybe made more sense to carry that name across. But yeah, so they've got a screen reader which is built in, and that is ready to go. I'd say it's a much more basic version. I keep revisiting this screen reader on the hope that it's been improved a bit. And not much has changed. It's a very simple... and I say simple, it still takes a bit of learning, and still, you know, you have to get used to it. But I wouldn't say it's the best example of a screen reader out there. It's in very early development, clearly. It's nowhere near as fully featured as TalkBack is. And I've often thought TalkBack is even, you know, less developed than iPhone's voiceover.
Certainly with Braille support.
Absolutely, yeah.
Lack of.
But it is getting there with TalkBack. But here's the key thing. You can install TalkBack on it. So you can go into the App Store. This is a bit like the old days when we used to talk about Narrator being the screen reader that you'd use to go and download JAWS or NVDA. Well, now you've got Screen Reader on the Samsung that'll let you go and download TalkBack on the Play Store. So you can do that, and you can have the TalkBack and everything that comes with it as well, because you can still download and use all the standard apps that you would have with, you know, your Google Play Store. It's an Android phone, but it has this kind of overlay built on top, and often that can be a problem because, you know, in some cases, some companies will put their own overlay or their own version or their own take on Android, and that can have an impact on the accessibility. Not so much with Samsung. Haven't had this issue before.
Well, certainly talking about having, you know, the potential for two screen readers on there, you've got duplicates of all the core apps as well. You've got the Samsung version of Maps or Mail or Messages or whatever it is, and you've got the Google version, and they put both of those on there for whatever reason. But you know, that will be a common experience for Samsung users, and who knows, maybe the screen reader stroke voice assistant speaks better with the Samsung native ones, and you'd have to switch to TalkBack for the other ones. I don't know, but one would hope that there'd be kind of a hotkey or a quick way of firing both of them up so that you could quickly switch between as and when you needed to. But yeah, it's a slightly more complicated setup, isn't it, than what iOS users are used to, for example.
Yeah, but I think if you're an Android fan and you've been using an Android phone, maybe not a Samsung, but you're looking at the new Samsung phones and thinking, actually, I quite like the sound of this, then I would say that, you know, you've got a good option there, and you can still use TalkBack, even though it's got its own screen reader. Here's the thing, though. I have said this, I don't know how many times, on this show and on others and on articles and in other places and in places where people don't want to hear anything I say, which is probably most places. I have said so many times that Samsung devices, I think for someone who's got low vision, who has got enough vision to read the screen, this is the best phone you'll get. Now, I say that because that's my experience. A few years back, I got the Samsung S10 Plus, and I had use of it for about maybe 6-7 months before my sight just kind of almost fell below the level just to really get the most out of it. But up until that point, you know, I was able to read everything on it near enough, and, you know, use the larger text options, the display zoom, you know, which made the whole screen just bigger. And of course, with a larger screen, with the biggest screen you'll get, so say in this case the Galaxy Note 20 Ultra, you know, you're going to have so much real estate there on a handheld device to be able to really push that text size up. And I think that's going to make a big difference. So there are benefits to this. And what I love about it, and this is the key thing, is that if you, and you know, you say, well, okay, you can get an iPhone Pro Max and do the same. Well, you can, but the difference is that the dynamic text size doesn't change on a lot of apps on an iPhone. It does on the Samsung phone, and I would imagine other Androids as well. However, I say that, I've got a Google Pixel 3 in the drawer, turned it on, was very excited to see the same thing in action, and the text size, the screen zoom, does not go up anywhere near the size that it can with Samsung. And I don't know if that's to do with screen resolution. Maybe it is. But you just cannot seem to get the same level of text size. I'd say maybe it's a size 12 point max, whereas on the Samsung, you're going to maybe push that up to 18, even 24. Which is, you know, sizable, and that can make a real difference to someone with low vision. So I think if you've got low vision, you're looking for something that you still want to be able to see, but not necessarily have, you know, you may not want to use a screen reader, I'd look into Samsung. That'd be my advice. The challenge at the moment is, of course, getting hold of one to try it, unless you know someone who has, because obviously they're...
Can't go in the shop.
We can't go in the shop, and you probably aren't able to get that close to it, and yada, yada, yada. So... That's my starter for 10 on the Note 20. I thought it was okay. It's a good phone. I mean, I'm not an Android person. Who knew? But I'm not. So for that reason, it didn't jump up and down and say, buy me. It's a beautiful phone. If I was an Android person, I'd probably want that phone for sure. So there's that. Let's quickly talk about the other products. They brought out a new tablet. Let's move on. It's called the Tab S7 and the S7 Plus. Again, it's got the kickstand at the back, a bit like a Microsoft Surface Pro. You've got the detachable keyboard and you've got the S Pen. So you've got the options there as well if you wanted to kind of have that seamless experience of, you know, going between your phone and your tablet and, you know, using all the apps you're used to. Again, I think this is good for someone with low vision. Tablets have, I often found, and I don't know where you stand on this, Robin, but for me, tablets have always been a bit of a challenge for someone who's blind. The layout is different, so, you know,
it really depends. I know experience. Some blind people, yeah, who really like the extra real estate, the kind of default multi-column thing going on there, but for me, I like it as small as possible, really.
Yeah, I'm the same.
The big challenge with Android tablets is the lack of apps. You know, they there isn't tablet specific apps of any in any number on in the Google Play Store or in the Samsung's own store, so you'd be looking at Android phone apps being blown up, and they just don't lend themselves to the big. I mean, actually, that might help for low vision, but it's not a pleasant experience from a visual point of view. So yeah, but whether for us that would still be fine. But why would you need a bigger screen if you're just going to be accessing a phone app anyway?
Yeah, they also brought out Galaxy Buds Live. I guess they're equivalent to AirPods Pro. Again, another interesting device. This is the first Samsung Galaxy Buds with active noise cancellation built in, so that's quite nice.
And it's active in as much as it prioritizes voice, you know, the kind of vocal range, and tries to minimize all the other background noises. Mm. So clever stuff.
And then there was the watch, the Galaxy Watch S. Is it the S3 or just the 3? I think it's the Galaxy Watch 3.
It's just the Galaxy Watch 3. Yeah.
3.
Yeah.
And they brought this out. Again, an interesting device. This running Tizen software as opposed to Wear OS from Google. So Samsung have created their own version. I guess it's an offshoot again of Android to some degree. But they've taken this software and they've created, you know, what they think is a good experience for most people on the move on a watch. This one is a couple of things I do like about it. Again, it has accessibility built in. Large text, I don't think is much of an option, but then again, think about the size of the screen. We're talking 44 or 46 millimeters here. It's not big. So
depending on how much you want to spend on it, the 41 millimeter one's the lower end cost, and then the higher one is 45 millimeters across.
Right, okay. So
and we're talking circular here, so
yeah, that's right.
Reading text would be a slightly strange.
So if you want large text on a watch, don't know. Yeah. There isn't really. I don't think there is a suitable smartwatch solution at the moment, if I'm honest, for someone who's got low vision. You know, I find with the Apple Watch, for me, it's great because of voiceover. Simple as that. You know, I couldn't use that phone without it, or the watch, I should say, without it.
And I haven't heard anything since the announcement of whether the screen reader software, I mean, the screen reader support has been improved, but certainly friend of the show, David Woodbridge, has demoed earlier versions of the Tizen Galaxy Watch, and even first, you know, many first-party apps weren't speaking properly with the built-in screen reader, so a way to go there.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I did contact Google asking for their advice in this area. If I was to showcase or talk about a good example of an accessible smartwatch with Wear OS, I'm not sure if I'm allowed to tell you the response, but let's just say the words Apple and watch were used a few times. That's all I'm going to say. So yeah, there you go. Anyway, there you go. That is Samsung's roundup of products. They launched.
There is one you've missed.
I know. I think I mentioned, forgot this the last time I was talking about it as well. Are we talking about the folding
Z Fold
phone?
Two, yeah. Now this goes back into the argument about whether you would want a folding phone.
No,
a foldable. Yeah, because I'm the same. I don't think I need one.
Who's going to buy this? I mean, really, who wants a phone that can fold? What on earth is the point?
I suppose if you desperately want something that's kind of tablet sized and you haven't got, you know, camouflage, what do you want, cargo pants, you don't go around with massive pockets, so and you've got a huge amount of disposable income,
so you need lots of money, But you, clearly, you've spent all your money on the phone because you can't afford the cargo pants to put your tablet in. Yeah, I don't know.
And reports have already said that you can still feel the seam. So it's not, you know, a perfect version. It's still kind of 1.5.
I still don't understand when you open the phone up, it opens and it's such a strange resolution then. It's not a normal resolution. It's almost square.
The orientation, so
I don't understand
that. Ratio, yeah.
Yeah. But there we go. Maybe in a few years' time, we'll all be raving about foldable phones, but right now, it's still not winning me over.
Well, again, if you have low vision and the capability of having a larger screen with bigger text on it is all good. So I think, again, it comes back to my original point of Samsung phones, great for someone with low vision who needs large text. iPhone for everything else. There you go. That's it. Problem solved. You can thank me later. Or better still, thank me now. Right, before we go to the next thing, just to say, if you want to get in touch with us, you can. It's techtalk@rnib.org.uk. That's our email address. We're at RNIB Connect. No, we're not. We're RNIB. You tell I do this a lot. At RNIB Radio on Twitter. Thank you. That's the one. And you can get me on Twitter at Tech Talker Steve. Be nice. Lots of you are, in fairness. And Robin, how do they get in touch with you? How can they send you comments and loveliness on Twitter?
At USA2DAY. USA Today. Don't ask.
No, I'm not going to. Although, I've got an idea. Is it to do with a newspaper?
No. In fact, I'm a bit of chagrin because that's really cheesy publication, apparently. I didn't know that I was associating myself with that particular publication. But yeah, no, I think I've given the story on a previous show. So just basically go back and listen to every other show in the archive and you'll eventually hear the story.
OK, great. Well, I'll do that right now. And Andy, if they want to follow you, are you allowing people to follow you?
Of course, if you want to, yeah. It's ADWINN.
Easy as that. That's simple me. One. I like that. That's a simple,
Daniel, David.
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 David, yes, the middle name.
Yeah, David. Yeah.
Right, shall we get in some emails?
Go on, then.
All right.
Email. We get email. We get your email every day. Here's your mail today.
Right, let's get into the email inbox then. So I don't know what's going on. Was I rubbing my microphone there, or were you? Someone was having way too much fun with the microphone there. Right, let's get into the email inbox then. Andy?
Right, so we just mentioned AD, me being AD. The first email actually says, where has AD gone? This is from Michael in West Yorkshire. Hi, says Michael. Hi. I listen to your show as technology is something I have an interest in. It does help, Michael, to listen to the show.
Well, I have you say an that. it's not a prerequisite,
Bash it out of you,
I have an Acer laptop, which I currently run Windows 10 on, and also different versions of Linux as VMs. I have TV through Virgin Media, and I also have audio description set up on my TV box. The subject of my email may appear strange and sound like that song, Where Have All the Flowers Gone? Yes,
great song.
But where is audio description on ITV1? You used to have to tune in to the ITV channel number for London to get the audio description outside London. This did change to being able to use the channel 103, the local channel. However, soaps and films transmitted on ITV1 have been missing audio description, so that's even affecting the current Bond movie Thunderball, which I was watching as I was writing this email. I know that all of the Bond films have audio description, but possibly since lockdown I have noticed this issue of no audio description. A friend tells me that AD needs to be turned on by a person for it to be transmitted. Has COVID affected audio transmission on ITV1? You would think that this was, if it was related to COVID, no AD would be broadcast, even on less popular channels. For example, the single episodes of Emmerdale appear to be transmitted without audio description, yet the Omnibus edition, which shows all of the episodes over the week, does have AD, but that's broadcast on ITV3. So I am puzzled. Where has AD gone? He goes on to say, perhaps someone could enlighten me on this issue. I would consider contacting Virgin, but I am wondering if it's possibly something beyond their control and is actually an issue with ITV. But that is an email from Michael in Holmfirth in West Yorkshire.
Okay, well, we're going to forward that to our broadcasting team here at RNIB, who are in regular contact with the broadcasters for this very reason, but not just that, for other reasons as well, to talk about, for example, audio description and the type of shows that have it and all the rest, and also to forward complaints as well. And I'll give you that email address if you want to jump ahead of the game here and send your email on. It is broadcasting@rnib.org.uk. But here's an interesting story. So I had exactly the same experience in Scotland. We have STV, which is a Scottish television. It's our, you know, tartan version of, you know, whatever ITV broadcasts. It's the same shows, but just with a Scottish accent. And
with more shortbread tin.
With more shortbread, yeah, exactly. and tea as well. But yes, and haggis, obviously. And the bagpipes. And anything else you can think of that's stereotypical of Scotland, it's in there.
Sean Connery.
Sean Connery.
And the band Texas.
I think we've run that particular sponge dry.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, you know, the same thing happened here. And interestingly, it was because, well, I don't know what the cause was, frankly, but the situation was that I couldn't get audio description on Scottish television here. So a lot of the shows didn't have it. I figured out that the HD version of the channel did have it, which was kind of weird. So I contacted the channel, and of course it's a small channel, right? I mean, it's not as big, I guess, as ITV, so it was kind of easier to get through to people. And I just sort of asked a stupid question, like, you know, is there a button on the transmission desk that says audio description on it, and is it turned off? And someone came back and pretty much said yes. So after pressing the button, we got audio description back. So, you know, maybe someone leant on it or put a coffee on it or something. Who knows? But, you know, that was it. It was solved, which is really weird. So that was on Sky, interestingly. That was on Sky. It wasn't a problem on Freeview. So I think the broadcaster themselves must be issuing these, you know, they're obviously issuing the AD out on the channel. It might just be that they're not doing it on every channel, which is... which I guess gets difficult, doesn't it? Because all these channels have got different variants. You've got plus one channels, you've got HD versions of channels, you've got... I don't think Channel 4 right now on Sky, anyway, has AD at all. So if I want to record something on Channel 4 with audio description, I have to find the HD channel in order to record it. But that's on Sky. But I don't know if that's the case on Freeview or on Virgin. So it's a bit messy. To put it mildly. But as I say, I think if you get in touch with the team, Sonali Rye and her team at RNIB will be the people who will help you with that. So broadcasting@rnib.org.uk, we will forward that email on to the team on your behalf and hopefully get a resolution. You can let us know how it goes.
I think we should also briefly say that, you know, Michael mentions that maybe AD isn't coming through because of coronavirus, just in case people write in and say, well, you know, how can a virus affect AD? We're talking about staff here, probably talking about a staff shortage.
That's right,
and
yeah.
Not enough people remembering to press the right buttons.
That's right, yeah. I mean, who knows how I mean, I don't have any clue how television works other than the fact that a picture appears on my screen that I can't really see. Beyond that, but how it gets there, I've got no idea. But I imagine it's probably more involved than, you know, someone hitting a play button somewhere. You know,
I mean, talking about Virgin Media, I don't know if I've mentioned this before, but I'd actually like to be able to not have TV channels come through as part of my package because nobody watches them. They're all streaming stuff and YouTubing stuff, these kids.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, kids don't watch television these days. Who watches television? So old-fashioned. Interestingly, though, I'll just throw into the mix here, not that it's relevant to anything, but I've never watched a Bond movie in my life.
Oh, man, I'm so pleased that when I could see, I watched a bunch of stuff. So I've watched a good few of those and all the other stuff like Star Wars and Back to the Future.
Boring.
And Indiana Jones. And, yeah, got those indelibly imprinted on my memory.
And my things I've seen with my working or more working eyes that I enjoyed. West Wing, Sopranos and... Carry-on films.
Oh yeah, I've watched those, but the other two, no idea.
Height of culture.
They were classics, they were.
Ah, yeah. British culture, that's it.
Yeah, real PC classics.
Formed my radio career approach to everything ever since. Everything was all very, oh, hello, and all that Mrs. nonsense. Yeah, who are Mrs. and Matron.
It explains so much.
Yeah. Right, let's get another email.
Well, on a similar theme, we're going to talk about this, but Shazad has emailed in asking about streaming platforms like Netflix. He says, hi everyone at Tech Talk, could you tell me where I can send feedback to the streaming platforms such as Netflix, as they are not listening to blind people? They need to be held accountable for their actions, as most video on demand and catch-up services are not making life easy for a blind person to enjoy watching a program that everyone is talking about. He goes on to say, also, could there be a section on your podcast channel for how-to tutorials so that people can listen back at their convenience, as I enjoy listening to your show through the podcast, and could you put pressure on the powers that be to make your show even longer, as I feel more people would be enjoying listening to Tech Talk all of the time.
Wow.
Well.
Once again, keep up the show. I truly enjoy the banter that you do with one other, especially with Chocolate Gate, and whether it should be kept in the fridge or let outside. Shazad doesn't actually say whether he likes it in the fridge or not.
Oh, it's on the fence on that there. One. Right, okay.
Yeah, actually, I wouldn't put it on the fence. Not in this heat.
No, that's true. Although, say that, it'd just be perfect, wouldn't it? Just, you know. Just not in the fridge.
No, fridge.
Perfect. No, stop your nonsense. Shazad, thank you for the email. Again, I'll direct you to the broadcasting at rnib.org.uk. And the reason I'm doing that is because that team, they deal with broadcasters all the time. And what they do is any complaints that come in or, you know, are wanting to come in about a broadcaster, about a programme or an issue that you're having as a blind person, we kind of put all that together. And then we go to the broadcasters. I say we, I mean they do in the team, but we as RNIB do go to these broadcasters and say, look, people have been in touch, this isn't good enough. And the idea being that if we sort of put our voices together, there's a chance they might listen. So, you know, I would strongly encourage you to email that inbox, and you will get a response from the team, and they will definitely take your views forward. I have many conversations with Sonali Rai on the team. In fact, I just spoke to her today and had that conversation around some issues around Netflix and some other providers as well. And she is always banging her head off a table saying, you know, why will they listen? Why will they not listen to us? She gets this. And but at the same token, we all need to play our part in that. And that part is to put our voices together. Because I think individually, don't know how you feel about this, Robin, but I think individually sometimes it's very easy just to sort of throw a complaint away and say, yeah, whatever. But if it's coming at you, you know, from an organisation like RNIB, you know, with a whole host of blind voices behind it, this isn't RNIB as an organisation coming to Netflix and saying, here's what we think. These are blind people, us, going to RNIB and saying, look, please take our concerns forward. And they're doing that.
Certainly, if it's a legal thing, then the more people that can be put under the same kind of legal challenge, the better, you know, class action or a group action. I would, ideally, if you can find an easy channel to feedback personally as well, I would do both, but definitely contact that team, because they, you know, they'll have that, like you were saying, a much bigger impact by taking a number of collated, verified issues, because sometimes it's user error. But if you can, feedback as well, because we've talked to Amazon and Sony and those other guys, and they tell us stories about, you know, they were blissfully unaware. They got some feedback from a single customer. It absolutely opened their eyes. They suddenly became really passionate about accessibility. They moved internally to a team that, you know, either didn't exist or that they, you know, joined us because they felt really passionate about it, and they helped move that forward within the team. So, you know, do both if you really can, but certainly contact the RNIB, because they really want that comprehensive list. Because, you know, when you go into an organization, you want to talk to the highest up people, and you want to get the budget approved for, you know, so you need a full list, really.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, well, Shazad, hope that helps, and I hope that we can get some resolution. And thank you for your comments about the show as well. We do try. Whether the letters
make it
get
longer.
I know. Well, I don't control anything here. I don't have no power at all, other than to just say I like doing this and I'd like to do more of it. But you know, it's up to someone else. So what can I say?
How long are they wanting? Are they like 6 hours?
I don't think there's enough. I don't think it's enough time. All I know is an hour is never enough. That's all
we might need to do another email show at this rate. Come on, guys.
Do you know that sounds like a Bond film, doesn't it? An hour is never enough. That could be a great title for a Bond film. Get that written, Andy.
Another day. Come on.
I'm on it.
Right, what else have we got?
Right, this next one from Rod. Hi, Stephen and the team. There was a time when I didn't like Easy Reader, but the change over at RNIB Talking Books forced me to use the app once more, and I must admit that on the iPhone, it is very impressive. Not perfect, but then again, neither is Audible. I noticed that there are a lot of Easy Reader-related files in the Files folder, and therefore there is probably similar arrangement for the alternative to iOS. Cheers. That's from Rod from Burnham-on-Sea, which Rod describes as the Sunset Riviera.
Nice. I want to go to the Sunset Riviera. Are we allowed to go there? Are we allowed to travel to that place? Probably not.
We'll do a live show from Burnham.
Yeah, under
lockdown. I used to live in the English Riviera in Torquay. We had palm trees and everything.
What?
So, yeah. I have, yeah.
Did you see the palm trees? Were they just telling you that?
Actually, I could see. I could see then. Yeah, a little bit.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. I gave a few a hug because they are quite, they're cute. They're really cute.
You're an actual tree hugger.
Yeah, exactly.
Who agreed him to be on this show? Who came up with this idea? Right.
It wasn't my suggestion. Somebody else suggested it, but I was all for it. Yeah.
As you do. Alcohol involved, I'm guessing. Moving on. Right.
Me.
Andy, what else?
Hi all, says Alan. Your last show was most instructive, as the time will come while I will need another computer. But let me pass this following on to Red, a Fujitsu laptop, which I think is called a Lifebook. It has a numeric keypad, CD and SD drives, and some markings on its keyboard, and I obtained mine some time ago from Sight and Sound, who have proved to be excellent with their help with the device when my own skills were not up to some of the customization I wanted. I use it with a desktop keyboard for the majority of the time. That is from Alan. He says, keep up the good work.
I'll be honest, I thought Fujitsu had gone the same way as Toshiba when it came to computers, but there you go. I have heard of these, though, being sold by companies like Sight and Sound. Oftentimes what happens is, a bit like the laptop I got from Lenovo, oftentimes it's corporate... I don't want to use the words handout because it's not a handout, but maybe it is a donation, or maybe it's a, they've done a deal with an organization and they get a number of these laptops in, and then they're able to put, NVDA on them or Dolphin software on them, whatever it is that you would want. And that can actually go a long way to helping someone who wants a computer, but wants some backup and support as well. That's the key, isn't it? Having a bit of access, because it's one thing to just kind of say, well, I've bought a computer, I'll just set it up and go for it. But if you don't have a clue what you're doing, that can be terrifying, So, because I'll be honest, even the Windows setup, I used when I got the Lenovo through, I used the Cortana to start up my computer. And that was quite funny. I quite enjoyed that. Because she's got a bit of a personality. That's as far as her personality goes, setting up the computer, and then you never want to use Cortana ever again. But
she's been demoted now. She's only going to appear in Office 365 now as a kind of a...
paperclip.
A little clippy version.
Yeah, she's clippy now. Clippy Cortana. Well, she will be once she's found out she's been relegated to Office 365. But yeah, I think it's good that these computers exist. And Sight and Sound Technology, there was also one we heard about last week, I think, Computer Recyclers UK, which if you can Google that or get someone to Google it for you, that's a great way to get a cheap computer with, NVDA on it, a screen reader if you want. So, low-cost solution. So no one needs to go out and spend 1,500 quid on a computer. You can, get a decent computer for less. If you need that. So yeah, that's a good thing. All right, look, we'll come back to the emails in a minute because I want to get in Will's feature this week. Will got in touch with us. Does Will have a second name, Robin? Because I keep calling him Will as
Burrell.
Madonna. Right, so Will Burrell, not Burrell as in our Billy Burrell. But is it? It's not Billy Burrell, is it?
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah, it is. Billy Burrell. Yeah.
Oh, wow. I did not realise that.
Oh, sorry.
He's got by two names.
Oh, long time listener to the show, Billy Burrell. Oh, listens, I'm so pleased to know that.
We've been calling
you.
Him Will, and then when we get to emails, we call him Billy.
He calls himself, yeah, that's true. I don't know why he does that, though.
he's either trying to avoid the tax man, or he's... Or he's a man of many faces. I've met people like that before. But no, listen, Billy, lovely to have you along for the ride. I didn't realise it was you. But yes, Billy, as I like to call him, is back. I feel like I know him. But yes, Billy's back with another demo of Ira. This time around, Billy is finding out how to cook his favourite meals.
Welcome to this new brief demonstration of Ira. And on this one, I'm going to demonstrate what it's like for them to read a food box. So you might want to know what meals you've got. Now, I've got a couple of meals. I'm unsure what meal I actually want to eat. So I've got a couple of meals, and I'm going to use my time wisely to get information on the meals. I've got three meals. While I'm on my own, while the family have gone away for a little while, and I'm going to just see which meal I can eat. So I've got three here. So I'm going to get them out. I've got quite a big one here. So I've got this one. And I'm going to put my phone down while I get the other two. And I want them to tell me in one hit, really, what meals I actually have to eat and the instructions of each one. So I'm going to lay them out in a row so that I don't have to keep asking them again what meals I've got. So I've got three meals in a row. So let's start with this one. Let's get some instructions. So I've got meals. I want to know what I'm eating. I'm ringing an agent, and they can scan the box now, as you'll see, take a picture and tell me live what food I've got. This is one of the examples of their usage. Katie, hello. I've got three meals, and if it's not too much trouble, I'd like you to tell me what they are and the instructions for cooking them. So I've lined them up. If I start with this one that my phone's holding over at the moment.
That is beef lasagna.
Okay, and what are the instructions? Does it say, have I got to turn it over?
You'll need to turn it over, please.
No worries.
Photo.
No, it's absolutely fine, Katie.
Thank you.
Taking a picture, ellipsis.
Okay, so the preparation instructions. Would you be using an oven or a microwave?
The oven, chilled, fan assisted, if that's on there. No problem, thank you very much. Now, the second meal, please.
Certainly. And that one, if you could angle the camera just slightly to your left, is a sausage and mash pie.
Yeah, and the instructions for that, please. The last one, please. This one.
That one is a chicken tikka masala.
Yeah, and the instructions for that, Kate, please.
Taking another photo.
Taking a picture, ellipsis.
It's because they pack so much information.
I know, they do, yeah.
This one, also 170 degrees centigrade with the fan, but only 30 to 35 minutes.
Right. Katie, you've been an absolute star. I'm hungry now, but thanks very much for that. That's fantastic. So, I've got them instructions, and thanks for your time today.
Of course, have a lovely rest of your day.
And you now. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So, there we go. Those are my meals I've got. So, I've got a sausage and mash pie, and I've got a lasagna, and I've got a curry. You might think, oh, that's boring. You know, I can cook my own food, but just having the, you know, the convenience of knowing, you know what, I can use BMIs, that's great. But she's a trained volunteer, she's trained what to look for. You know, I've got a fan assisted oven, that's what I wanted. You know, I actually wanted a fan assisted oven. And I know now by the shapes of these boxes what that food actually is. And so now I know that on the left I've got the beef lasagna, in the middle the sausage pie, and on the right the curry, and I've got the instructions. So even for a task as mundane to some people as, well, that's a bit boring, Will, why do I want them to do that? But that's a 5-minute call or less. So even as a free call, as a non-paying member, you could do that. You can think, you know what, I've got this box of food, you know, what is it? And so that's another brief example of how to use IRA.
Well, very good. Just to pick up one point from Will, he referenced a trained volunteer, but of course they're not volunteers at IRA. They are staff, right? So, you know, that's absolutely another aspect, yeah, of this, which again differentiates it from the volunteers at Be My Eyes. Really interesting demo because, you know, again, I love the way that Will talked about that. You know, he talked about the, you know, he says this is a mundane task, and it is a mundane task, but it's an important task. You know, Andy, if you go into your freezer and you think, I'm quite hungry tonight, what will I have? You know, you pick out what you want. Now, that might seem, you know, you've got to make that choice. But if you don't know what anything in that freezer is, if all the packages feel the same, then, you know, it's all. And I know friends of mine, I've got blind friends who'll say, oh, you know, I just pull something out of the freezer and just throw it in the microwave and, you know, hope for the best. And it's no way to live.
Just the freezer as well. I mean, you're talking about the fridge. You've got expiry dates to keep an eye on as well. You might need to do something, cook something tonight, because it's going to be out of date by tomorrow. So, you need to keep an eye on that, not just the instructions.
It's important
and
stuff.
And I think, you know, compared to Be My Eyes, which, you know, you absolutely could have used that for, but, you know, maybe after that you then wanted to ask for, you know, setting the temperature on your oven. Maybe you want something a little bit more healthy to go on the side. So, you know, you want to go to and root around in your fridge looking for the right, you know, salad.
Highly unlikely, but yes.
Well, I'm not going to say anything. and, you know, with a volunteer, with Be My Eyes, you're probably, you know, as the seconds are ticking away, feeling more and more, you know, even up to a 5-minute limit, that's a long time to impose on a volunteer. But the other guys, they're there for the duration. You know, if there was an ingredient on one of those that you weren't aware what it was, maybe it would be problematic for your particular dietary, you know, restrictions that you might have, they would Google it for you. You know, they're there big time to help you with whatever you need. I did my first IRA call this week.
Oh, did you?
And yeah, my computer wasn't talking to me. I thought, you know, I could use Be My Eyes, but hey, I'll use IRA now, I can do it. And she was super helpful. And because it was my first call, she wanted to learn more about me. And there's a minimum that you can do on a first call, which is just give your, you know, first and second name, email address, that sort of thing. They need to have stuff, you know, to be able to contact you in a multi-channel way, because sometimes they're going to send you information as a result of a Google search or whatever it might be. You know, they would compile information for you if you want and send it into a, you know, a really helpful email about, I don't know, a complicated day trip that you need to do, whatever it might be. And she also said at some point we'll need to do a kind of an induction. And that's, you know, she said, you don't have to do it now, but at some point we'll do that. We'll show you, you know, the ropes, step you through all the things that you can do, get a bit more information from you if you want to. So, yeah, I was super impressed. And I'm going to use it now as a second string. And there'll be some instances where I think I'll choose that option, not for the heck of it, but because I want something a bit more hardcore than, or a bit longer than you would want to with Be My Eyes.
I think it's that thing though, isn't it? It's like you say. So, you know, my wife yesterday, on her guide dog training, she was planning a route to go on, and the guide dog instructor had asked her to develop a route. And she said, I'll need to find out, okay, so I need to get to the, I need to find out when the place is open. I need to find out what bus is going there. I need to find out that that bus is actually running, because of course with all everything that's going on, services have been cut, especially in rural areas where we are. So, you know, it's there's a lot of information to gather, and then she's got to find the route back, and, you know, is there a cafe nearby? And actually,
very important,
what you're talking about there is something that you could get in touch with IRA to do. It's not just about seeing out the back of your camera. It's more than that, isn't it? It's a service that gives you so much more. So, yeah, I'm intrigued by this service. I really am. I haven't signed up yet. I think I signed up on the free tier couple of years back when they were doing the beta trials at the time. I've never really used it since. I do want to have a reason to use it, so maybe I'll find one.
And even if you stick on the free tier for as long as you want and just use those 5 minutes, you're never imposing. Those guys are getting paid, regardless.
That's right, exactly.
So give it a go.
Okay. Look, before we go, I want to maybe cram in another email if we can. Just a brief one, Andy, if you've got one.
Yeah, I've had to go right down the list until we find a nice short email. This one has come in from Tom in New York. Hello, Stephen, Robin and Andy. You have talked about the Echo Show on your podcast numerous times. How well does the show and tell feature work on this unit? Thank you for a fun and informative show. Stay healthy, stay safe. Stay safe, I should say. That's from Tom in Long Island, New York.
Well, Tom, I think you're going to have more joy with show and tell than we will, because we don't have it in the UK. I think I get the feeling it's going to drop any day. I just have that feeling. But it doesn't arrive yet. But show and tell, from my understanding, is good. Have you heard any more about it?
No. I mean, when it first came out over in the States, you know, there was a flurry and people were saying that, you know, getting it to find the barcode or to recognize the product is pretty good, but there were still gaps in the database. So I think that's probably one reason why it's taking its time to come over here, because, well, it's not rocket science, is it, to get the database of products? There are other barcode scanning apps over here that have access to them. So yeah, come on guys, get it over here. But yeah, I think it's pretty good. I would definitely use it if it was over here.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. So I read this week that Amazon have launched a new website, a Lady A Accessibility Hub, which is rather interesting. So they brought together all of the accessibility features. I've been trying to... the article I read, I don't think... I haven't found it, but I can't find the actual link to it, to the actual accessibility hub.
I haven't got it to hand, but if you search for it, I think it is there.
Yeah, just search for... you have to... say the word that I can't say,
yep.
The A word, with Accessibility Hub, and you should be able to find it. But that apparently will have all of the information, including show and tell feature, showing you how that works, and, you know, other accessibility features as well, not just for blind people, but for anyone who has limited mobility or hearing problems or anything else. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, really interesting that they've done that. Hopefully that means, and this is why I'm saying I think maybe show and tell isn't far away, but I live in hope. I really do. I think the Echo Show is a good device. As much as I'm enjoying using it, I'm noticing there are certain things it seems to speak and certain things it seems to assume you can see on the screen, versus the Dot, which would read everything to you. So that's interesting.
Absolutely. Sometimes you're going to have to defer to the screen, which otherwise would have been spoken, like you say. So there is a downside there. But there's a lot of extra stuff that it does give you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because it's got a screen.
We're out of time. Who knew? But there you go. That is it for our show this week. Thank you so much once again. We're back next week at the usual time in the usual place. If you're listening on the podcast, keep subscribing, because you'll get more of this, which is great. Andy and Robin, thank you so much. We'll catch you again next time.
Thanks guys. Chocolate in the fridge.
Yeah, right.
It's a heat wave.